Hey, everybody, and welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're taking a look at the National Monument to the Forefathers.
Oh, yeah.
It's maybe not as famous as the Statue of Liberty
Right.
or say Mount Rushmore, but
Yeah.
it's a pretty fascinating monument, and it's absolutely packed with symbolism and history.
Yeah.
And as you might guess, it's dedicated to the Pilgrims,
Right.
built in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and it was dedicated way back in 1889.
It's interesting that you mention it's not as well known as some other monuments because people might not realize just how massive this monument actually is.
Right.
We're talking 81 feet tall,
Wow.
solid granite,
Okay.
the largest solid granite monument in the US.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
That's not by accident. I mean, that choice of material
Yeah.
that speaks volumes about how the creators wanted to emphasize the enduring nature of the values it represents.
81 feet. That's taller than a six-story building. And right at the very top, there's this 36-foot-tall figure called Faith, holding a Bible, and she's pointing up, but there's actually a little detail about the direction that she's pointing that I bet a lot of people miss.
Yeah, you're right. She's not just pointing up to the sky generally. She's facing northeast,
Okay.
directly towards Plymouth, England, where
Wow.
the pilgrims began their journey. So it's kind of this visual acknowledgement of their roots.
Oh, that's so interesting. It really connects it back, huh?
Yeah, it connects the monument back to their origin.
So Faith is surrounded by four seated figures, each representing a key principle:
Right?
morality, law, education, and liberty.
Yep.
These were considered cornerstones of the Pilgrims' Commonwealth, essentially the foundation of their society. So can you kind of break down for us what each of these figures represents?
Yeah, let's start with morality. She's flanked by figures, prophet and evangelist, highlighting the importance of religious guidance in their moral compass. And then there's Law,
Okay.
who is accompanied by justice and mercy, emphasizing the need for balance and fairness in the legal system. Education is portrayed with youth and wisdom, symbolizing the transmission of knowledge across generations.
Interesting.
And then Liberty stands with peace and plenty, representing the fruits of a free and prosperous society.
Wow, there's so much detail in this monument. And we haven't even gotten to the smaller figures on the base, like youth, justice, peace, each one kind of adding another layer of meaning. It's clear that the designers really thought this through.
They did.
It's not just figures, though, right? There's also these panels with inscriptions.
Yes, and those inscriptions are really key to understanding the message of the monument.
Okay.
So the names of the Mayflower passengers are actually inscribed on the side panels, eternally linking them to this monument. But perhaps the most powerful inscription is on the rear panel. It's a quote from William Bradford's journal.
Oh, I have that right here.
Oh, perfect.
Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced. By his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are, and as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation, let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise.
What's so fascinating about that quote is that it goes beyond simply commemorating the pilgrims' arrival. It expresses this deep conviction that their settlement was divinely ordained, a small beginning destined for greatness and intended to illuminate the entire nation.
Okay, so connecting that back with Faith facing toward England, it makes you wonder if they saw themselves as carrying a torch, not just building a colony, but spreading their beliefs and their way of life.
Yeah, that's a really insightful observation. It definitely raises questions about their ambitions beyond just settling in a new land. You can see hints of that broader vision in both the figure's posture and that inscription.
That's amazing. Now, building something this grand, I mean, it must have taken a long time, right? This wasn't a quick project.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
The idea was first proposed around 1820,
Oh, wow.
but the cornerstone wasn't laid until 1859. So that's almost 40 years.
Gosh, that's a long time.
And even then, the project faced numerous delays.
I can imagine. So what were some of the challenges that they encountered?
Well, for starters, major projects like this often faced funding issues.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then there were deaths of key figures involved in the project,
Right.
which obviously caused setbacks. And then, of course, the Civil War broke out
Yeah.
just a few years after the cornerstone was laid, bringing construction to a standstill.
That makes sense. So the monument's construction spanned a really tumultuous period in American history. That must have added a whole other layer of complexity to its meaning.
It certainly did.
Yeah.
You know, the Civil War divided the nation over fundamental questions of freedom and unity.
Right.
And in that context, the monument to the forefathers, who were seen as symbols of America's origins and ideals, took on this even greater significance.
It's so interesting to think about how a monument's meaning can evolve over time, shaped by the events and the circumstances surrounding it. And speaking of meaning, there's another really intriguing aspect to this monument that we should explore. The fact that it was built by the Freemasons?
Oh, yeah, you're touching on a fascinating poof there.
Yeah.
The involvement of the Freemasons, which is this fraternal organization known for their symbolism and rituals,
right,
adds another whole layer of intrigue to this monument. It suggests that there might be some deeper, even hidden meanings embedded within its design, waiting to be decoded by those who know where to look.
It's like a secret code embedded in stone.
Right.
Maybe there are clues within the monument itself that point to these deeper meanings.
It's certainly possible. For instance, some scholars have noted the monument's alignment with certain celestial events,
okay,
suggesting this astronomical connection that might hold symbolic significance. Others have pointed to the use of specific numbers,
right,
and geometric shapes in the design, which could hold hidden meanings within Masonic tradition.
It's like a giant puzzle waiting to be solved. And to think that all of this is tied to the Pilgrims, a group that most people probably only remember from their Thanksgiving history lessons.
Right. That's the beauty of exploring history in depth.
Yeah.
We start with a familiar story and then uncover these layers of complexity and intrigue that we never knew existed. In this case, the National Monument to the Forefathers is a gateway to a world of symbolism and secret societies and the enduring legacy of a group that continues to shape our understanding of America's origins.
And it's not just about the past either, right?
Right.
This monument also raises questions about how we interpret history today and how those interpretations shape our understanding of who we are as a nation.
You're right. You know, this monument, with its emphasis on faith, morality, and the Pilgrim legacy,
mm-hmm,
it prompts us to consider how these values resonate in modern society. Are they still relevant? Have they evolved? What aspects of the Pilgrim story do we choose to emphasize or downplay?
It's like we're looking into a mirror and asking ourselves, what parts of this story do we identify with? And how do we reconcile those values with the complexities of the past and the challenges of the present?
Exactly. It's an invitation to engage in this thoughtful dialogue about our shared history and the diverse perspectives that shape our understanding of it.
It's a reminder that history is not just this collection of facts, but this living, breathing narrative that continues to influence us today. And speaking of influence, this monument also highlights the impact of art and symbolism on our cultural landscape. We've talked about the figures and the inscriptions and the architectural design, but what about the overall artistic style of the monument? How does that contribute to its message?
Well, the monument is really a prime example of neoclassical art, which was a style that drew inspiration from ancient Greek and Roman art and architecture.
Okay.
It emphasized grandeur and symmetry and idealized forms,
right,
often conveying messages of virtue and patriotism and moral uplift.
So by choosing this particular style, the creators were making a deliberate statement about the values and the ideals that they wanted to associate with the Pilgrims.
Exactly. You know, neoclassicism was seen as this timeless and universal style,
yeah,
one that conveyed a sense of authority and dignity and moral purpose. It was a really fitting choice for a monument that sought to elevate the Pilgrims to the status of national heroes and role models.
Wow. It's fascinating how those artistic choices can shape our perception of history and influence our understanding of the past. And speaking of perception, we've touched on the idea that the monument has faced some criticism over the years. So what are some of the concerns that people have raised about the monument?
Well, one of the main criticisms is that the monument presents a rather idealized and one-sided view of the Pilgrim story.
Okay.
It celebrates their virtues and accomplishments, but it doesn't fully acknowledge the complexities of their history,
right,
particularly their interactions with Native Americans.
Right. That's a really important point to bring up. We can't ignore the fact that the arrival of the Pilgrims had a profound and often devastating impact on the indigenous people who were already living here.
Exactly. And the monument, with its focus on the Pilgrims' triumph and their establishment of a new society,
uh-huh,
it doesn't fully grapple with the displacement and conflict and cultural clashes that also marked this period of history.
Yeah, it's a reminder that monuments often reflect the perspectives and biases of the time that they were created.
Right.
And as our understanding of history evolves,
right,
we need to be willing to critically examine those narratives.
Absolutely.
And acknowledge the voices and experiences that might have been marginalized or excluded.
It's about recognizing that history is not this monolithic story,
right,
but a tapestry woven from diverse perspectives and experiences. And by engaging with those complexities, we can develop a richer and more nuanced understanding of the past.
That's such a good point. It's about embracing the fullness of history.
Right.
Both the triumphs and the tragedies, and recognizing that there's always more to learn and to understand.
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
A journey of discovery that requires us to be open to new information, to challenge our preconceived notions, and to engage in respectful dialogue with those who hold different viewpoints.
And on that note, I think it's time for us to take a short break and gather our thoughts. When we return, we'll delve deeper into the social and cultural impact of the National Monument to the Forefathers and explore its relevance in today's world. Stay tuned.
Sounds good. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about how the National Monument to the Forefathers has faced some criticism for maybe presenting this one-sided view of history, and it's a valid concern.
Yeah.
It brings up this larger question of how we grapple with these complex historical narratives.
Right. It's like we're constantly trying to find that balance between honoring the past and acknowledging its complexities.
Absolutely.
On the one hand, we want to recognize, you know, the accomplishments of those who came before us.
Right.
But we also need to be honest about the challenges and the mistakes and even the injustices that were part of that history.
Precisely. And that's where critical thinking comes in.
Yeah.
It's not about erasing history. We're trying to rewrite it to fit a particular narrative.
Yeah.
It's about approaching the past with an open mind, questioning assumptions, and seeking out diverse perspectives.
So how does that apply to the National Monument to the Forefathers? How can we appreciate the monument while also being critical of the narrative that it presents?
It's a challenge, but I think it's possible. We can admire the craftsmanship, the symbolism, the sheer ambition of the project, while also acknowledging that it reflects a particular viewpoint, one that may not encompass the full story.
So it's like seeing the monument as a starting point.
Yeah.
A catalyst for further exploration.
Right.
And discussion. We can use it as an opportunity to dig deeper into the history of the pilgrims, to learn about the indigenous people who are already living here, and to understand the complex interactions between those groups.
Exactly. It's about engaging in this more nuanced and inclusive conversation about the past, one that recognizes the multiple perspectives and sometimes conflicting narratives that shape our understanding of history.
And it's not just about academic discussions either.
No.
These conversations about history and representation have real-world implications. They affect how we see ourselves as a nation, how we interact with each other, and how we address contemporary issues of social justice and equity.
That's a powerful point. By understanding the past, its triumphs and failings, we can gain these valuable insights into the challenges that we face today. We can see how historical patterns of exclusion and inequality continue to impact us, and we can work toward creating a more just and equitable society.
It's like that saying, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Yes, exactly.
By engaging with history critically and honestly, we can break those cycles and build a better future.
Absolutely.
And speaking of a better future, let's bring this conversation a little closer to home.
Okay.
Think about our own communities here in Southeast Houston, Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. What can we learn from the National Monument to the Forefathers that we can apply to our local context?
That's a great question. I think one of the key takeaways is the importance of recognizing the multiple layers of history that exist in any community. Just like Plymouth, our towns have their own unique stories to tell, stories that encompass different cultures and perspectives and experiences.
Right, we can't just focus on a single narrative.
No, we need to delve deeper.
Yeah.
To seek out the stories of those who have been marginalized or overlooked, we can learn from the past both its successes and its shortcomings to create a more inclusive and equitable present.
And that's something that we're really passionate about here at Think and Act Locally. We want to empower residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena to improve their lives and their community. And by understanding our local history, by engaging in meaningful dialogue, and by taking action, we can create positive change right here in our own backyard.
It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in shaping the future of our community. We can learn from the past, celebrate our diversity, and work together to build a brighter future for everyone.
Absolutely. And one way to do that is to support organizations like ours that are working to empower residents and make a difference in the community. If you find value in our show, please consider visiting thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes.
Your contribution, however big or small, can help us continue to provide valuable information and resources and opportunities for residents of Southeast Houston to connect and learn and take action.
Now back to the National Monument to the Forefathers. Something we haven't talked about yet is the fact that it's not actually a national monument in the official sense.
Oh, that's right.
It doesn't have that designation from the federal government.
It's often referred to as the National Monument to the Forefathers.
Right.
And it certainly has this national presence in terms of its symbolism and historical significance.
Mm.
But it's actually owned and maintained by a private organization, the Pilgrim Society.
So even though it has this really grand title and it evokes these national themes, it's ultimately a local landmark cared for by a community organization dedicated to preserving its legacy. That's an interesting parallel to what we were just talking about in terms of thinking and acting locally.
I see what you're saying. It's a reminder that even the most imposing monuments, the ones that symbolize national narratives and grand historical themes, are ultimately rooted in specific communities and cared for by individuals who are passionate about their preservation.
It's a reminder that history is not just something that happened somewhere else to someone else a long time ago. It's all around us, embedded in our communities, our landscapes, and even our own personal stories.
It's about recognizing those connections between the past and the present, the local and the national, and understanding how those connections shape our understanding of who we are and where we're going.
And that brings us back to the importance of thinking and acting locally. By understanding our own community's history, engaging with its complexities, and working together to address its challenges, we can create positive change that ripples outward, impacting not just our own lives, but the lives of those around us.
It's about recognizing that even small actions taken at a local level can have this significant impact on the larger world.
And on that note, let's take a quick moment to gather our thoughts before we move on to the final part of our deep dive. When we return, we'll explore some fascinating trivia about the National Monument to the Forefathers and consider its relevance to our own lives and communities here in Southeast Houston. Stay with us. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into the National Monument to the Forefathers. We've been having a really interesting conversation about its symbolism, its history, and the many ways it's been interpreted over time. But before we wrap up, I thought it would be fun to share some interesting trivia about the monument.
Okay.
Are you ready for some fun facts, expert speaker?
Always, I love a good dose of trivia, especially when it's about historical landmarks. It's amazing what little details can sometimes reveal about a monument's creation and the people behind it.
All right, well, here's one that might surprise you. The monument wasn't always called the National Monument to the Forefathers.
Right.
It actually had a much simpler name originally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was first known as just the Pilgrim Monument, very straightforward title.
Right.
That clearly conveyed its purpose.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later that it acquired this much grander title that we know it as today.
Yeah, it's like it evolved from this local tribute to this national symbol. Now, remember how we were talking about its impressive height?
Right.
81 feet of solid granite.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
But guess what? The original design was even more ambitious.
Oh, yes. The original plan was for a colossal 150-foot tall monument. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Towering over Plymouth Harbor. It would have been an absolute spectacle.
Wow. Talk about making a statement. Why do you think they scaled it back?
Probably a combination of factors. Such an enormous project would have been incredibly expensive, even for that time. And just logistically quarrying and transporting that much granite would have been a huge challenge.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes practicality has to win out, even when it comes to these grand artistic visions. Speaking of granite, do you know where they got the material from for this monument?
It came from Hallowell, Maine.
Okay.
It's a town known for its high-quality granite. And then those massive blocks had to be transported by ship.
Wow.
All the way down the coast to Plymouth.
What a journey. It's incredible to think about the logistics involved in a project like this. All right, so here's a bit of a trivia twist that might surprise our listeners. We've been referring to it as the National Monument to the Forefathers. But here's the catch.
Yeah.
It's not actually a federally designated national monument.
That's right. It's a common misconception. It's never been officially recognized as such by the U.S. government.
That's so funny. So it's a national monument in spirit and in the hearts of many Americans, but not in the official sense.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
That's a good one.
It reminds me of something we were discussing earlier, how history is often about interpretation.
Yeah.
How different perspectives can shape our understanding of the past.
You're right. And in this case, even the monument's very identity is open to interpretation. It's a good reminder that history is not always black and white. There are often layers of nuance and complexity that we need to explore.
Well, I think we've done some exploring today.
I think so, too.
We uncovered some hidden meanings, debated interpretations, even busted some common myths about this monument.
Yeah.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I really hope our listeners have enjoyed it as much as we have.
It's been a pleasure delving into this topic with you. It's amazing how much we can learn from a single monument, especially when we're willing to ask questions and challenge assumptions and consider different perspectives.
And speaking of learning and challenging assumptions, I want to bring this conversation back to our local community here in Southeast Houston, Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, As we wrap up this deep dive into the National Monument to the Forefathers up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, what lessons can we take away that might be relevant to our own lives and communities?
I think one of the most important takeaways is the power of thinking and acting locally. Just as the Pilgrim Society has dedicated itself to preserving this monument,
right,
we can all find ways to make a difference in our own communities.
That's a great point. Whether it's volunteering at a local organization or supporting a community initiative or just simply being more engaged in local issues,
yeah,
we all have the power to create positive change.
And remember, even small actions can have a big impact.
Absolutely.
By working together, we can make a real difference in the lives of our neighbors and help to build a stronger, more vibrant community.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for ways to get involved and make a difference right here in Southeast Houston, we encourage you to check out our website, thinkanddactlocally.com. We're dedicated to providing residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena with the information and the resources and the opportunities they need to improve their lives and their community. And if you find value in what we do, please consider supporting us at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes. Your contribution helps us to keep this podcast going and expand our reach in the community.
We believe that everyone has something to offer, and by working together, we can make a real difference.
Well said. And on that note, we want to thank you all for joining us on this deep dive into the National Monument to the Forefathers. We hope you've enjoyed the conversation and learned something new along the way. Until next time, keep thinking and acting locally.